Hi, I'm Kat, marketer turned brand storyteller.
And I'm Candace, educator turned entrepreneur.
And you're listening to
Not Nice, Clever.
We're two introverts who speak on stages around the country and work with top personal brands who also unapologetically require 24 to 48 hours of recovery time on the couch in our favorite sweats, all Netflix and no chill.
And to be clear, we're not quiet or nice. Together, we're redefining what it means to be an introvert who means business. It's time to show up and show off. Are you in? In today's episode of Not Nice Clever, we're talking about all the introvert-esque excuses that are holding you back from making progress in your life and in your business. So Kat and I have gathered information from many of the client calls that we've been on the last month or so, and we have compiled a list of the most common things that we hear when people are stuck in action. We're naming them here so you can feel like you're a normal human who has these thoughts, but also recognizing them so that we can make progress in the right direction.
AKA permission revoked to continue using them, whether or not you work with Candace and I directly, you are no longer allowed to use them after today. So introvert-esque excuse number one, I have been guilty of this one too, is wanting to reinvent the wheel. Now, do not confuse this with us saying you should just rip off and duplicate, as a certain individual in the coaching space always says, we're not a fan of that. We want you to be you so you can be more of you. But you don't need to have this fully built out idea, plan, model, content calendar, text. Like, you don't need to. You just need to start and start where you are and be who you are. The groundbreaking idea might come. We've seen those light bulb moments with our clients. But Candace, does the groundbreaking idea come during the first session right at the beginning of the journey, or no? Ever?
Never.
It does not. It comes by doing, by learning, by experimenting, by like building your content muscles and your branding muscles, and then being like, ooh, I actually like working on my branding biceps more than my branding abs because I refuse to give up branding candy. Wow, that analogy took on a spin. But you guys get what I'm saying, right? Like, no reinventing the wheel.
No reinventing the wheel. I just shared a reel with Ed Sheeran, and He was talking about how he learned more from all of his failures than success. Mm. His failures are what helped him to grow and learn. And he actually shared a clip from when he was 14 years old. And you could hear him singing on YouTube. If you look it up on YouTube, I think it's Ed Sheeran, Addicted is the song.
Oh my goodness.
You could hear him sing at 14. It's pretty bad. And by 18 or 19, he had a hit record. And he's like, I love to share that journey because people look at him now and just imagine him being born super talented, born with the ability to sing. And he's like, no, I learned that over the course of many years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. You have to let yourself be a beginner. You have to let yourself learn from your failures in quotation marks, because are they even failures?
I mean, in my opinion, they're only failures or mistakes if you don't learn from them and make them lessons and really get curious and analyze. Like, I'm all for failing forward. Some of the best things in my life have come after very upsetting, like firing situations where I was fired, or really like traumatic breakups where I like went all in on listening to Halsey Without You, like on repeat at least 87 times on Spotify. Halsey, you dropped that at the perfect time for me in 2018. But just learn from it, and you're not immune to it. And, you know, Candace and I were talking about this, that like we talk about our failures, and I, maybe we do need to like do more of demonstrating it visually instead of just talking about it, because like we're not immune to that either, but we learn from it. We don't shy away from it. It still sucks like in the moment, but we make the most of it.
I mean, I told you the story of when we hosted an event and no one came. We just got on our Instagram story and we're like, hey, tonight's event was awesome. We'll see you next month. And then guess what? Next month we have many people at our event. Mm-hmm. And like, that is, I think, a very normal part of the process. Yeah, when you're just starting out, people aren't going to respond. There's going to be crickets in your DMs. No one's going to comment. Very few people are going to like. Mm-hmm. People are going to tell you, who does she think she is? Like, all of that happens to everyone you're looking at and admiring. They've been through those experiences.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And still today, right? It doesn't go away.
It's
just
no.
Like new things. It's just in front of more people now.
Oh my God. Yeah. Which is like so interesting and challenging our EQ. But yeah, well, and it just happens in greater frequency because we're ballsier. We take greater risks because
we don't say ballsy.
Oh, that's right.
Here.
That's right. We have more grit.
Right?
We'll say grit. Can we use that word?
Yeah.
We got more chutzpah. Can we say that? I don't know.
Clever crew, what is our word for
Please,
that?
Please, yes. Tell us.
Can't be ballsy.
Help us build the language. Excuse number two. This just happened.
Yep. This just happened. So in the content lab, we do 12 social experiments. It is my group program that I'm in right now. And the people in the content lab, I had this conversation this morning. Okay, Candace, but everyone does home tours. She's a realtor. Mm-hmm. Everyone does home tours. I want to do something different. I want to stand out. I'm like, how about we just start with a home tour? We see how it feels. And then we let ourselves evolve into a new idea to make it your own. Mm-hmm. But let's just tackle one obstacle at a time. The first obstacle is that you're not getting on video and people don't know you're a realtor.
Big problems.
So let's do a home tour. And then maybe next week's home tour is going to be even better and better and better. And maybe you're going to have your own style to it and your own voice and your own vibe with it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, maybe it's going to be bigger than a home tour. And I want that for you, but let's just start where we are.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is true for anybody listening in or for you, Candace, but like the idea of like, let's be creative and like come up with the best idea instead of just starting where you are, like you said, for me, I am hit with creativity when I'm not trying to be creative. When I'm like watching a new Netflix show and going down the rabbit hole of their stories, thanks bingeable content, or when I am out walking Piper and I'm staring at the architecture in DC and my mind is going in a million directions about the people that created those homes and what informed that architect. Like my best ideas are not when I'm sitting there staring at my phone trying to like create something, or I'm like doom scrolling. It's when I'm like out there living and learning and doing. Like, is it the same for you?
100%. Yeah. Yes, it's 100% the same. Like my best ideas are when I'm on a drive, when I'm on a walk, when I'm laying on the beach, when I'm doing something other than like trying to make a content calendar, right? Mm-hmm. But what I do is I note the note down in my app on my Instagram notes. On my Instagram, you know what I'm talking about.
The thing.
And then when I do need to plan out some content, I'm like, oh yeah, that idea. Mm-hmm. And I write them down. And that's it. And it's much easier. And as you know, so much of our content is not content that we're creating. It's inspired by what we're living every day. I just shared a conversation that happened earlier with a client because that is how I create my content.
Mm-hmm. This is something Candace and I have in common. And maybe it's useful for people who identify as being introverted, or even if you're extroverted, just to know about yourself that like I respond best when I have something to bounce ideas off of or a person to respond back to. Not when I'm just like sitting in my little corner, doom scrolling on social. Like, no, like go talk to someone, one person. Okay. For the introverts and the clever crew, we're not telling you to like go throw yourself into a crowd of strangers, but volley back and forth, have fun with it. Don't just sit there in your head overwhelmed, making up all these excuses. And, you know, if you continue doing that, we'll do a part two to this episode. But yeah, just get going and have a, I don't know, what would you call that, Candace? Like a brainstorming buddy, even just to get yourself out of your own head.
Yes. I think that is so helpful to have someone to bounce ideas off of and ask you questions, poke holes in your ideas so you can next level it. I think that has been the most helpful thing for me. Mm-hmm. And kind of understanding what people perceive as the problem, even if what I am sharing is different than their perception of the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Another excuse
is
feeling like you have to fully understand something or know everything about it inside and out before you take the action.
Mm. I'm guilty of this.
I always think about our podcast when it comes to this because we just got back from our podcast conference a few weeks ago at this point, and I sat in multiple sessions, and I'm sure you did too, Kat, where you're like, what does that acronym stand for? Oh, okay. What is that tech tool that I've never heard
Google
of?
Google this real quick.
What? Yeah. Like, wait, how many downloads are people getting? What counts as a download? Just all the questions
Yeah.
that we didn't have answers to and still don't have all the answers to. Mm-mm. But now we just have more people, more resources, a wider, broader network to help us as we grow our podcast.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about this today, Kat and I, right before we got on, is like, we're still building out our little studio spaces in our homes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey, Kat, I got this for my studio space. I'm going to order a sign. Like, we just got these new mic flags. If you're watching the video, you can see our mic flags now. Like, small little things that we didn't have when we started a year and a half ago. I didn't even know what a mic flag was. I didn't even know you could just go online and order them.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called. Exactly.
Oh, I was calling it the mic blocky thing in my head.
Uh-huh. The mic blocky mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I typed in Google to find
it. There we go.
Okay. Because I didn't know what it was called.
Hell no.
Yeah. So it's just those things. Like, but had we not started because we wanted to be so studious and know every single thing about podcasting, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have started.
Yeah.
And we would have missed out on so many opportunities that have come from this.
So many. And I think and this is like a pattern, right? Like, I love noticing patterns and doing more of like the patterns I love and then like kind of, you know, nipping those toxic ones in the bud. But like, when I think back to 2016, when I was in nursing school and I was working as a CNA and I was literally like on the trajectory, less than 2 years, I was going to have a great paying six-figure job, built-in job security because hashtag healthcare, everybody needs it. And I withdrew and at the time, I literally moved cross country to launch a franchise. So I had a bit more of like support than a typical like just launching a business, but it was literally in luxury landscaping. It was basically a construction company in Miami, where I had never lived in Florida before. I'd actually never visited Miami before deciding to move there, which was a that was an interesting first 6 months. But I just said yes. And like, I figured out, I was like, well, I don't have nursing school taking up my time anymore. I need something else to challenge myself. So why not? So I sold everything, moved cross country. And the amount that I like learned about building a brand and launching a business when you don't speak the primary language, you don't look like the primary demographic, you don't know anything about the industry you're in, like Jesus. Like, when I think about it now, I'm like, oh, like naivete was almost in my favor at that time, but I figured it out.
Yes. And I kind of think that with everything, right? Like, me being naive about leaving my career in education starting a consulting business. Like, if I would have known all of the work that would go into my business over the next 6 years, would I have said yes to it?
You mean it's not just like glamorous and getting followers and doing all that? No?
There's been a lot of tears. I'll tell you that. But also, I've grown as a human being and I'm even more of a problem solver than I was before. Mm-hmm. And I know that I can't do this alone. And I rely on my network so much for helping me take the next right step.
Yeah.
And when I think about everyone who I admire, they are doing all of those same things. They're building their network. They're connecting with people who've done it before. And that's the secret sauce, y'all. Mm-hmm. It's just solving a problem over and over and over again. And if you could do that faster than the person next to you,
they'll pay you. They will pay you to avoid the pain, because we're all human. At mm-hmm. the end of the day, we don't want pain. Yeah. We want more pleasure, period.
No. You're out there building your personal brand and you also have a team relying on you. But if your people don't know how to fish for themselves, the burden of new business always falls on you. Ouch. No thanks.
The opportunity we see: teach your team how to generate their own business.
The result: more time and energy back in your day so you can scale sans burnout.
Amplify by Not Nice Clever is the ace up your sleeve, a hands-on workshop full of replicable frameworks and actionable strategies that your team can put in place right away.
Your job? Sit back and let us work our magic.
Even CEOs need help sometimes. We've got you. Head to our show notes to get the deets. Hashtag outsourced. Yeah. And it's like, what's really cool is that when you look back at all the moments where you just decided to just do it, the adult equivalent of just jumping in the deep end, or the adult equivalent of jumping into the lake or the pool without like dipping the toe in and then dipping your leg in and then getting up to your hips and then fully dunking your head, but just like full send cannonball into this new next phase, whatever it is. And like, look, your body adjusts. Anytime you've done that, like, you will also adjust. Like, it's really,
yep,
really not that bad when you think about it. Next excuse. If you're watching the video, I just eye rolled and sighed. You could hear it in my eyes. I'm not a social media person. Candace, how rich would we be if we got paid like even just like a nickel for every time we've heard that?
Oh my gosh.
We'd have a jet so rich. At this point.
Oh, easily. So you're not a social media person. Mm. This is particularly coming from me as an introvert. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a social media person. I didn't start social media because I thought my life was so cool. I want everyone to see it. That's not why I started social media. But I was forced to because my coach said, if you want to grow your sphere, you need to be in front of more humans. What's the fastest way to be in front of more humans? By going on social media. And so I committed to that because it was the last option before I would have to move back home and admit to my parents that being an entrepreneur is not going to actually work out for me.
It's great motivation right there.
Yeah, it was a great motivation. So I just decided to be on social media, and what that's done for me is let me be in front of people from the comfort of my own home, from my own office, from wherever I happen to be, the ability to connect, the ability to demonstrate what it is that I can help people with over and over again on a daily basis. It's also allowed me to build a digital reputation, right? The track record of success, the track record of my work that allows people to want to trust me.
Yeah. I think the name of it and maybe just the perception of it and the rise of like the influencer in the era of digital and social, like it gets a rap that it's only for extroverted people or it's only for like this type of person. But if you really think about how Candace and I create most of our content, I don't do it with an audience. The audience comes after the fact. I film one reel or put together one post and it's read or viewed hundreds of times, but I've only done it once. And it also like helps with conversations and helps with people staying in touch with me without me having to make like 500 calls in a week, which just kill my energy and by default my creativity, which wouldn't help anybody. And the other thing too that I'll say, like, I'm not a social media person. Okay. Nobody is.
I mean, there might be people out there who like love it for different reasons, but as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, the reason that I love social media is not because I just love being out there, but it's because I understand the power and the impact that it has on my ability to connect with human beings more quickly, and not just any human being, but the human being who needs what I have to offer.
Yeah. If you level set your goal and your purpose with that, it makes it a lot easier. It's you using it as a tool instead of being used by it, which so many people are used by it, right?
Yeah. It's the idea of moving from a consumer to a creator. Mm-hmm. Like, you're likely consuming a lot of content on a daily basis. And if you're not yet creating, I would invite you to stop consuming. Mm-hmm. Make a rule for yourself. I used to make rules for myself all the time in my business. So my rule used to be that I wasn't allowed to consume until I created. And so when I would drive to work, I would make an Instagram story, no matter what, in my car before I got out. And that was my rule. Wasn't allowed to get out of the car until I make a video. And then when I got in the office, if I wanted to scroll, I could because I created before I consumed.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Like putting those boundaries in place. Like this calls to mind when we had Giselle on the podcast a few months ago, which if you are a newer member of the Clever Crew and haven't yet heard that episode, be prepared. She took us to church. We were just kind of there. And it was just like Giselle spitting fire that everybody needs to hear. But one of the main things, we'll give you a teaser, is about taking ownership of the things in your life that you use or that are using you, and to understand that you're entirely in control of leveraging social in a way that works for you instead of being owned by it or overwhelmed by it. So that's all I'll say on the episode with Giselle, but definitely like...
We'll drop it in the show notes so you guys can listen to that if you haven't already, or so if you need a refresher, because it's so good.
Okay. This next excuse, this is a great one. Candace, you want to share this one?
Sure. People say, but Candace, I'm not ready to hire the whole crew of people who I need to show up. And I don't have the money to make that investment. I'm not asking you to make any investment. Mm-mm. If you are new to content creation, the only tool you need is the tool you carry around with you anyways. It's your phone. Mm-hmm. There is nothing else that you need right now. But as your business grows as a result of showing up, you can then invest in the next level of equipment or the next level of support. You don't have an excuse to not post to social media. You have the app, it's free. You have your phone already. Share what it is that you do. And I know it's hard because you watch people on social media and you're like, that person has a whole studio and they have an editor and they have a videographer following them around and they have XYZ. Guess what? They did not start with all of that.
Nobody does.
I can almost guarantee you, no one starts with a full crew, okay? Unless they're already famous for something else, mm-hmm. right? So please just listen to me when I say the best day to start is today, and you will grow your equipment and your team as you go.
Yeah. We started with like mic and Zoom, you know, with the podcast, and we've slowly like made investments, but you don't need any of that. Like the podcast conference we were at, there was literally a video recording app that uses the cameras on your iPhone to film multiple angles yeah. in different ways that look studio level quality. And it uses the camera in your iPhone. And you know what? These folks, I mean, sorry, Sony, they talked us out of buying DSLRs like for us to record our podcast. So, 'cause they're like, you have one of the best cameras on the market and it's in your pocket and you can use it. And it's easy to do so.
Yep.
And you're already paying for it. Or leasing it, or like you bought it outright or whatever. I don't really understand how all of those contracts work. And I unfortunately just sign them every time they force me to upgrade, but that's okay. No more excuses there. The last kind of aside that I want to share with the Clever Crew about this is because if they do film, you know, without having an understanding of like the rule of thirds and editing and quality and 4K and like all of these terms that, by the way, I didn't know 6 months ago and I know now, is that the value of what you're putting out there, of what you're saying, of your energy and your intention, more important than like the fancy schmancy production value. We see sometimes creators have excellent production value, but there's no like meat. There's no like heart to what they're saying, right?
Yeah. I see it all the time. People want to invest in their first video and they hire a whole crew and they invest in their first video and they maybe pay a few thousand dollars. And then they're like, well, no one commented on this or no one talked to me about it or I got, you know.
Like a no ROI, I'm going to give up. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, well, you're not yet comfortable in front of the camera and it shows. So yeah. Just because you hire a videographer and an editor doesn't mean that they can like magically, there's no magic wand involved. Mm-mm. So I'd rather you make 50 videos on your own, 100 videos on your own, and then say, okay, now I feel more comfortable. Now I feel more confident. Now I know who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. Now I have a clear message. Now let me move to the next step. Mm-hmm. So I see that all the time with my clients, particularly when it comes to photo shoots. Mm. They're not comfortable in front of the camera, but they invested all this money. Well, what can you do instead to get comfortable, to boost your confidence? And then same thing with video. It's like, do it on your own so you don't have those weird, awkward video shoots.
Yeah. You guys, like I probably went live. Like, it's so funny, Candace, you and I did separate live challenges before we ever met, but it really did help us like hone our speaking ability, get comfortable on camera, which is wild. You did it longer than I did, which was so cool. But I remember like, and I was like just talking with a client, I don't know, earlier this week about tips for going live. And at one point they're like, how do you know all of this, Kat? Like, you're so good at it. Like, I'm not quite ready to start. I was like, I know because I've done it 100 times. Like, I did not know. And then I sent her the painful reel of the first time I ever went live where like I was literally leaning away from the camera. And I literally said in the live, I was like, I didn't tell anybody I was doing this. But if you're here, hello. And it was like so awkward. But 100 lives later, now we go live weekly. It's like it got easier.
Yeah. You got to put yourself out there. You got to stop making excuses.
No more excuses. So we hope that you got the message that permission has been revoked on all of these excuses. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to come up with a life-changing idea, ready as a decision. You're not a social media person. Cool. You're still going to use it if you want to use it to change your life and your business. And content value is more important than production value. And so if there are any other excuses that might be rolling around in your head, please do send them to us. We will record a rebuttal and a reframe that will help you get past them.
And we'll name you on our next episode.
We will. With love, always. And we will catch you on the next.
Thanks for joining us on Not Nice, Clever.
Remember to follow our podcast wherever you listen to audio.
And if you found today's episode valuable, please share it with your friends.
No gatekeeping here. Remember, we love to see our clever crew grow.
Signing off, you're not so nice, but oh so clever besties that mean business.
See you soon.